Did you know that there's more than just one reason why you emotionally eat? And in fact, there's a whole list of root causes as to why you may be coping and numbing out using food and sugar. In my own deep healing, I've seen this in myself. And understanding the reason that I was reaching for food is really what was keeping me in these unhealthy patterns. We must first understand why we engage in any type of behavior before we can ever hope to uncover a solution. And I talk a lot about this in my root cause approach to healing from sugar addiction and sugar dependency. But when it comes to specifically emotional eating, today's guest is here to help us deep dive into uncovering why we actually emotionally eat. And as I mentioned just a minute ago, there is more than one reason. Erin Smith is here, the host of the What We Crave Summit, to share all that she has learned over the last few years about emotional eating from 50 plus expert interviews that she has done. This is an amazing summary and deep dive into the root causes that are keeping you in the emotional eating, binge eating patterns year after year. And Erin gives it to you straight. So you are going to love this episode. So without further ado, I want to introduce you to Erin Smith. Welcome to the Beyond Sugar Freedom podcast. I'm your host, Danielle Dame, sugar freedom expert and somatic embodiment coach. Together, we'll be diving into much more than just another conversation around sugar addiction and nutrition. But more importantly, I'll be guiding you through the inner work, mindset shifts, and emotional healing that ultimately lies at the root of your unhealthy habits with food. Are you ready? Let's dive in. All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode here on the Beyond Sugar Freedom podcast. I'm here today with my gal pal, Erin Smith. Hello and welcome to the show.
Hey, girl. Thanks for having me. I'm so pumped. This is just like girl talk like we always do. Just so amazing. So thanks for having me.
Yeah. Yes, of course. It's long overdue. And I know we were just chatting before hitting record here, and I just always love our heart-centered conversations. And I know that you have such a short story to share that I know my audience is really going to find impactful, and I'm really, really excited to get into that. So before we do, I will introduce all of you listeners to Erin. So Erin Smith is also known as That Health Chick on Instagram and is an avid health and fitness fanatic who is expert trained in health optimization for the last 15 years and has worked with world-leading health experts such as Dr. Zach Bush, Dr. Christine Schaffner, Dr. Dan Pompa, Mark Groves, and a massive list of high-level celebrity health experts as well. She is also the founder and producer and host of What We Crave, the Emotional Eating Summit. And after 25 years of struggling with her own emotional eating, food addiction, and shame fasting, Erin became obsessed with understanding the root cause of what it is that we are really craving. She is on fire for cultivating real, beautiful, honest conversations that provide roadmaps to healing and how to make peace with food and ultimately yourself. So obviously, very much in alignment with the show here, Erin. And I just want to reiterate again for the listeners and anyone who's maybe not familiar with Erin, you have such a beautiful way of being so raw, so you, so vulnerable. And it's just so inspiring for all of us, myself included, to just continue being you and speaking your truth from the heart, especially when it comes to these sometimes difficult conversations around emotional eating and food and the struggles that we all have. So welcome again to the show, Erin. I'm so excited you're here.
Thank you for that beautiful intro. And yeah, I know. Thank you. That means a lot because it does come from my soul, and I just want to help as many people as I can. And, you know, you just feel like you're just being you. And when people really can feel a difference that you really care because you've gone through hell and you just want to help as many people as you can, it makes a difference. You know, you and I, we connected from the beginning that we were on this mission to help people. Ooh, see, I'm getting chills right now. It's like, I know we're doing something right. And so that really means a lot. So thank you. I'm just want to help as many people as I can today. So this is going to be so fun. Thank you again.
Yes. Yes. So good. Okay. So Let's get started, as I do with most guests, right? And I know that this might be hard to kind of condense, but would love to hear a little bit of your story. You know, what has been your journey with food, with yourself, you know, into this health world? And then, of course, we're going to get into to talking more about this amazing summit that you've created.
Yes, yes. Well, I will give you the highlight reel. You know, I was born in 81, so I was, growing up watching Goonies, right? And Oprah with my mom and Jerry Springer, you know, coming home from school and, you know, grew up, fast food was a luxury item. My parents, you know, didn't have much money. So of course, you know, that was before the internet. So all I knew was the food that my parents gave me. All I knew was that. Like, you know, growing up with mac and cheese and hot dogs and a salad was iceberg lettuce with Thousand Island and some croutons, you know, never knowing really what real food was. And so growing up like that, like, you know, Costco life, right? It was the Costco muffins and the Red Vines, the bucket of Red Vines. My mom would come home and be like, look, honey, they're fat free. Eat as many as you want. Big old bucket of Red Vines, Tootsie Rolls. It was the fat free era, right? You know, so again, my mom didn't know much, but here I am constantly growing up eating processed food, fake food, never knowing what real food actually tastes like. And I was hungry all the time. Go figure, because I wasn't eating real food. My body's like, girl, this is fake. I need real food. I'm starving. So Aaron was naturally just, I was so skinny as a kid. I was like sickly looking, and all I wanted to do was look normal and gain weight. You know, in seventh grade, where you're just, your body's awkward, everyone's growing differently. Your body's awkward. It's just, you got to have so much grace for that time in your life. But that was when it really hit home for me that I just wanted to be accepted and look pretty and get boobs like the girls at school, you know, and just not look. I literally looked like a skeleton and I had fangs, you know, so I was very just awkward, late bloomer. And so my dad, you know, knowing what he knew, which was nothing, was let's bulk Aaron up. Because, oh girl, you wanna play basketball? We gotta bulk you up. So we gotta get you to eat some food. So seventh, eighth grade rolls around and I start, my dad, first of all, I'm already eating way too much as a kid because my body was craving real food. Then my dad's like, let's bulk you up because you're not gaining weight. So then it was on top of that, more and more and more. So Aaron was always eating. I was always eating. Like, and then when I wasn't eating, it was weird. It was like, what's wrong with me? I'm not eating right now. So you can see at a young age, not knowing what real food tastes like, then having to almost binge eat on purpose. So it was pancakes and, you know, protein shakes. There were just crappy protein shakes and ice cream. And just, you know, again, my dad was just get calories in, doesn't matter. So I would eat all the time. Then my mom was Italian. And she's like, oh, honey, you had a bad day. Let's, you know, you want a brownie? What do you want? You know, and just food is love. I love you. You can have as much as you want, whatever you want. She never said no. So you can see how this is wiring into an emotional eating, you know, naturally just wiring my brain. Then fast forward, you know, I kept eating like that. I kept eating to gain weight because in high school, now I'm in high school and I was skinny, didn't start developing until I didn't actually start getting boobs, you know, till I was probably 17, because I was just late bloomer. So my dad continued to feed me and I just continued to eat all the time. Then I get to college and now I've put on 20, 30 pounds. I'm a size 10 and I just think I'm just finally fitting into my clothes, you know, and I'm 5'11". So I grew a bunch and then I gained like, you know, 30 pounds because I just kept eating college food, right? So the fried chicken and the burgers and the pizza at 2 a.m. And so I just thought that was normal. It's like, just keep eating, Aaron, just keep eating because this is what you need to do to look normal, right? So all these things, fast forwarding, condensing, then I get a job in California. I moved to California. I'm like, oh, everybody works out and they eat salads. Oh, and I should probably lose weight now, you know, seeing your photo next to other people and seeing how active they are and seeing what they're eating. That was my way of, this is again, right when the internet came out, everyone's kind of figuring it out. And so Aaron starts eating salads. She loses weight. I'm like, oh, okay. So then I went vegan and, you know, you just start kind of playing with diets that are around, just circling around like, oh yeah, that sounds good. Oh, that's what everybody's doing. Oh, okay. So you just want to, again, you just want to fit in. And then fast forwarding, I get a job, I have this really crazy health scare that forced me to look at my health. I did a detox wrong. I ended up almost dying. I was in a coma for 4 days. I did this huge, massive detox and had a grand mal seizure, which brought me to my purpose, which is amazing. But I kissed death, and that made me so health conscious that I went all in on health at that point. So I started working in the health industry in nutraceuticals, supplements, brain health. I really was so passionate about health after I had almost died that I went all in on that, not looking at anything else, right? So fast forwarding, Aaron tries being a vegan, tries this, tries that, tries all these things because it's healthy. Never really understanding what real health is, what real nourishment is. It was just try this diet, try vegetarian, try raw vegan, try, you know, whatever. And finally, just fast forwarding after years of working in the health space, by that point, I was so depleted from being vegan and not eating any fat, doing South Beach diet, whatever it was, being so depleted in fat. And then I was working 20 hours a day as a sales rep on straight commission, trying all these supplements. I was so passionate about it, but then I completely lost myself to where I was driving myself into the ground with adrenal fatigue. And it's okay, because I'm working. I'm this hustler boss babe. It's okay. I got this. And I drove myself into the ground because I wasn't eating any fat, zero protein, high stress, doing 2 workouts a day because that was California life. So I completely depleted myself. Then I discovered keto, and keto turned all the lights back on. I was so deficient in fat. My body was like, girl, if you don't put some fat in me, I lost my period for a year. I mean, it was so bad. My first bulletproof coffee I have, I drink it and I feel completely alive. Started my period because I started eating butter and steak and all these things that I was so deficient in. And because it was health food and because it was just so amazing and so good for you, I went all in on that too. So Aaron never stopped eating. You like how I'm calling myself
third person?
I never stopped eating. Yeah. That was my old self, Aaron. I never stopped eating. But it was funny because I never stopped eating, and I just kept using healthy foods as an excuse to numb out. I kept using healthy foods as an excuse to soothe all my stress, to soothe my disconnection from everything in my world. I was completely disconnected I was living out of hotels. I was living out of airplanes, working that sales manager life, no touch, no nature. I was just completely isolated by myself. And that's when the binge eating started happening. So I started using keto as an excuse to numb out for all the stress that I was under. And you should see all my before and afters of what I look like going through that whole phase of my life. But fast forwarding, I was in this hell. I was in an emotional eating hell because that was all I had to cope and soothe for my stress, and the relationship to myself was basically gone. So I got wired at a young age to turn to food for everything. And then that surfaced in my career. And I hit this rock bottom where I said to myself, I know everything about health. I know all these protocols. I know all the things. If you want to detox, fix your gut, repair this, fix that. But I have rock bottom myself somehow. And I literally look like a different person. I look like a zombie. I am puffy, stressed out. I look dead in my eyeballs. I was an empty shell. And that's when I said, I've got to figure this out, and I'm going to start filming interviews with all the doctors and all the health experts I know. I'm going to film interviews. I'm going to get to the bottom of this because I'm Miss Health Nut and I know everything. And yet I am literally turning to food for everything and shoveling it down. And I just black out and say, F it. And so that's when What We Crave was born, out of my own mess to figure out what was going on. And turns out, it has nothing to do with food. It's so much. It's so many things underneath it. And that's how we got here.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Thank you for sharing that. I don't think I've heard your story that in depth either. So this is really just incredible what you've been through. And I'm sure a lot of listeners can relate to even pieces of that story and their own like up and down roller coaster with food. And I mean, there's so many things that I'd want to touch on in there, but I think the biggest piece is this, like, I want to pull out of what you just said is this understanding that, yes, it's not what we eat, it's why we're eating and what's really going on behind the scenes. Because ultimately, and I know I'm just even thinking of my own journey with food as you're talking, is like, we can try on all these diets, right? Or all these like healthy ways of eating, they can still become an obsession. They can still become deficient in nutrients. That certain diet could still become, unhealthy in certain ways, right? And ultimately, like, yes, we need to make sure we're getting a good balance of like the right nutrients, including fat and protein and complex carbohydrates and all the vitamins, B12. I bet your body was like, yes, B12. Thank you for the steak once you got into it. Right. But, aside from that, I think so many people just focus on the what. Right. And this is where my business has transitioned over the years as well. And like, I don't focus a lot on the what. I mean, yes, to some degree, blood sugar regulation, and we do need to understand what we're eating. But I love that you're really diving in and focusing on the why. You know, what is showing up here? And this, the emotional eating piece that really showed up for you. And how cool to see, like, you just kind of hit this like rock bottom and you're like, I'm going to start interviewing people. And, you know, that actually beautifully ties into the next thing that I'd love for you to share a little bit more about what we crave. You know, what is it? What is what we crave? And, you know, if there's any other pieces there around really what fired you up to get that started and how it's sort of morphed over the years. I know we were just chatting about that before we hit record as well, but would love to share that with the audience.
Yeah, it's, you know, I just knew 2019 at my rock bottom with the photos of just where I was in zombie mode. And I started reaching out to all my friends in this space, like, hey, will you do an interview with me? I'm doing this summit. I'm really trying to figure out what's underneath emotional eating. And I would love to get your thoughts on it. And pretty soon, 50 interviews later, experts, real life stories, I just started to become this magnet for this hub of information of what is going on when we have that blackout moment. What is going on with us and why do we do it? Because we know better and we're still doing it. And for me, it was the more I interviewed people, the more I started to unravel this deep sort of knot of just stuff that started to unravel, and all these things started to open up to get me to see that it's not about the food. It is, there's something going on inside of me that I am disconnected from. And we can get into all the details, but there's something inside of me that I've completely disconnected from. I'm not even in my body. And when you actually just figure out what it actually is you're really craving, emotional eating naturally just dissipates. It's actually way simpler than we think, but there's a lot of things underneath. I mean, 50 interviews, right? There's a lot of things underneath emotional eating that have nothing to do with food. Even though, yes, you want to eat whole nourishing foods. That's all I preach, is just eat real food. But there's a reason why we're reaching for the food. There's a reason why we're numbing out. There's a reason why we're just going for the cheap dopamine. And once you figure out what that is, it's like, oh, there we go. I know. Okay. Awesome. And you can, once you just, I knew once I educated myself, I could just, my brain would naturally go, oh, we got this. We know we know why this is happening. So fill in the blank. This happens. Awesome. I know what I need to do. I'm going to go outside and take a walk. Or, I feel like I want to reach for this plate of brownies. I know exactly what I need to do. I'm going to go do this. So it's really just a roadmap. It's a roadmap for anyone that's struggling with binge eating, food addiction, cravings, soothing with food in any way, disordered eating. It's just a roadmap on, here's all the tools, here's all the things that it could be. You grab which one resonates with you, because there's some that hit my soul like a ton of bricks, which I can get to. But once you know what it is, it's so much easier to heal that versus just being like, oh, I just need to try this diet. Oh, I just need to go vegan for a week, or I need to just do this. No, it is not about that. You have to get to the root cause. And that's what we crave is all about. And because once you get to the root cause and you make peace in here, emotional eating, it's the quest to find peace is what it is. That's all it is. That's all we're doing. And once you figure that out, it's so easy to get out of it. But I struggled for 20 years because all I was looking at was the diet. I wasn't looking at why I was reaching for the food. It was, I was just like, let me just try this. Let me distract myself. Oh, let me do that. Just too much distraction. And I finally got quiet enough to figure out what was actually going on with me. And that's why I say it's so much deeper than food. You're craving something else. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that last piece that you just said. You finally got quiet enough to listen to what was going on inside. I think that's a massive part of what I encourage everyone here on the podcast, right? To get out of the like, get out of our brains and get into our hearts and get into our bodies. And I want to highlight something that's really cool about this summit as well. First of all, like I'm in the summit, which is so amazing. I loved having that interview and sharing, you know, my points of view and sharing where I come from and what I've learned around trauma and nervous system and the sugar addiction lens. And major part of like, I talk a lot about the root causes of sugar addiction. A massive part of that is emotional eating. And that's usually like 90% of the women I work with. Like this is a big problem for a lot of us. But one of the cool things that I just wanted to highlight before I forget about your summit is that people can join whenever. I know so many summits that are very specific, right? Like, and if you miss the week, I can't tell you how many summits I've wanted to sign up for, but I'm busy that week, right? And I'm like, crap, I missed it. So I really love that this is something people can sign up for whenever. And of course, I'm going to have a link below in the show notes for all of you who are listening to this to come and get access to all of these amazing interviews.
Another thing that you said, it's free to watch. You can watch it anytime. It's on demand. Yeah. So there's no dates. It's just on demand. Yeah. Thanks for mentioning. Yeah. And you were in it, which was amazing. And oh man, we had such a great interview. Yeah. So keep going.
Yeah. It was so good. No, I just wanted to pick out one other thing that I think was really powerful in like, obviously what we crave and the whole summit and all the interviews is, and you just mentioned this, like uncovering the why was really important, right? When you start to understand why am I emotional eating? Why am I numbing out? Why am I reaching for sugar or X food? The how and solution sort of unfold. I always think about a big fan of Gabor Maté, and he talks a lot about like even just addiction in general. Until you uncover why you're addicted or you're in a binge eating pattern or you're in this emotional eating pattern, you'll never find a way out. And I think so many people are looking for those band-aid approaches, forgetting to actually dig into why. And they're just assuming, well, it's just because I need to change the way I'm eating, right? I need to go from vegan to carnivore, or like that's the problem, right? And they're not actually understanding the depth of root cause, like you've said, we both said. I just wanted to pull that out because I feel like that's such a powerful and important message of how we need to redirect where we're looking for solutions and actually understand that the solution is in the why, is in like, why is this pattern showing up for me? Why at the root am I actually doing this? Not the surface level why, because it tastes good. That's not why. That's not why, right? There's more below it. So, I'd love to hear, I mean, you've talked to so many experts. And, you know, I'm selfishly really curious to hear. I mean, obviously I have my own opinions, my own beliefs, my own trainings from this lens, my own journey with emotional eating. But I would love to hear from you, you know, out of these 50 plus interviews that you've done, what have you heard, any themes around like the top root causes of emotional eating? Like what are the root causes? Why are we emotional eating? Or has all 50 speakers said completely different things? Like, I'm really curious to hear like,
You know, there's definitely an umbrella of the top sort of 15 things that are going on, but it can range from physical to emotional to mental to spiritual. Yeah. And so I'm just going to go through sort of the top 10 that were the most prominent that I think are the fastest way. If you want to get out of emotional eating, this is sort of like the highlight, but there's way more in a way deeper scope. But especially with what I was going through, this is also what I was noticing was the biggest game changers. So when it comes to emotional eating, if you are not getting good, deep sleep, you will be an emotional eating wreck for the rest of your life. That's number one. Mm-hmm. When you don't sleep, if you get broken sleep, or not deep sleep, your hunger hormones, ghrelin, leptin, they go whack. And you will, at least I was a bottomless pit. I wasn't sleeping. I had broken sleep due to my travel schedule, due to my work schedule, stress. I had leaky gut. My adrenals were shot. I was a zombie wreck. And so nothing was working. So I would wake up at 2 a.m. and I'd be like, well, I'm wide awake. So I might as well have coffee with a bunch of, you know, huge thing of like dairy, super thick condensed dairy products, which totally jacked up my gut. And then it would create a cortisol spike. And because I was already tired, I would just start eating food at like 2, 3 a.m. So all my calories were down the hatch by 6 a.m. And then I would just continue to eat all day because I was so tired and so miserable in my job. And when I finally started getting sleep, I left California. This is after my rock bottom. I want to get my life back. I moved out of California, moved to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, where there's mountains and peace and way less people. And I remember my friend Barton Scott with Upgraded Magnesium. He's like, "Will you just try this? Because I think you're going to love this. And I know you're really picky with supplements. You're like the supplement guru. Just try my sleep product. It's the most amazing magnesium you'll ever try." And I'm like, sure, whatever, we'll see. And I tried it and I got the best sleep of my life. And from that point on, it was like the floodgates opened because I was able to sleep deeply, which means I was able to get rest, which means my hunger hormones went finally chilled. And I actually woke up feeling good. And my mood was good. And I naturally lost weight because my cortisol went down because it wasn't spiking through the roof from lack of sleep. And I slowly started to get out of that hell I was in just by sleeping. So you think you're sleeping until you actually take a really good magnesium and then you get sleep and it will change your life. So that was number one on out of the gate. I always have to hype that because it changed my life and I don't get paid to say that. I literally just have to hype Upgraded Formulas magnesium. Okay. Second one is your gut. Your gut is the center of the universe for your health. If your gut is broken, you will be stuck in emotional eating because your microbiome is in charge of everything. Your microbiome is a bunch of bugs. We're made up of a bunch of bugs. And when those bugs are out of whack, they will crave sugar. They will crave food until you get everything put back together and working properly. So most people are walking around with leaky gut. I interviewed Dr. Zach Bush. Stress, antibiotics, glyphosate, alcohol, sugar, and trauma, all of it just pokes holes in your gut. Your gut lining is literally a half the width of a human hair thick. So when that thing goes down and you poke holes in that, everything kind of goes to crap. And when I was under so much stress, I looked like I was like 9 months pregnant and it was all leaky gut. So my gut was busted open. Then I was eating dairy. Then I would also binge on keto snacks that had a bunch of erythritol. And the erythritol, the fake sugars, xylitol, erythritol, everyone says, "Oh, it's healthy. It's a sugar alternative." It completely destroyed my gut to where I was bloated. And then it made me crave more sugar. So the gut and those fake sugars, when you get rid of those and you just swap, you start repairing the gut and then you get rid of the sugar, the fake sugars, it will change your life. Ion Gut Health is Dr. Zach Bush's product that seals up all the leaks in the gut and puts that thing back together and gets it working again. It's clinically proven and all natural. So I always hype that. That's my biggest game changer. You get the gut working again, you get your life back. The next one was, this is going to sound really ridiculously simple, but hydration, salt, right? I was severely dehydrated because I was nuking myself with saunas and coffee. I was so dehydrated. When you're dehydrated, you will constantly be reaching for food. So if you can add some salt, like Redmond salt, Element, there's some really solid brands out there. Again, I don't get paid to say this. When I started just taking salt, like in like a little electrolyte pack, and I stopped craving food, I was like, oh my God, does everyone know? Like we're talking salt, pink Himalayan sea salt, not table salt, MSG from restaurants. We're talking earth salt, the healthy stuff. That will change your life because I would go to these spin classes, right? And I would do a hour spin class, too much cardio, and I would go home and eat probably a week's worth of groceries in one sitting because my body was craving was salt. Just give me some salt. I'm so dehydrated. And so once I added that in, I noticed, oh my God, I don't have to eat like 17 servings of food. I'm totally nourished. So hydration is huge. That which leads me into the next one, which is the way I was living my life. It's called rushing women's syndrome. So I interviewed Trisha Nelson. She said, "You don't have an eating problem. You have a living problem. When you are rushing all the time, when you're not slowing down, you're going too fast, you will binge eat because your body is trying to tell you slow the F down because I cannot tolerate this speed And if you, it's basically a response that we're completely disconnected from our bodies, from peace, from ourselves, from life, from nature. If you are going a million miles an hour, your body will, it'll show up in the way you're living your life. You'll be reaching for food because it's looking to connect. It's looking to slow down. It's looking to get a dopamine hit because you're like this. So it's trying to calm you down. So you'll be reaching for food. So once I figured that out and got things to slow down, I noticed that when I just honored a slower pace, it was just a natural side effect that the emotional eating started to calm down on top of adding in all the things I just talked about. But, you know, when you're living out of your car, planes, hotels, you're not getting any hugs, not getting any sex, not getting any type of nourishment from your soul, spirit, and you're just running around like a chicken with your head cut off, you will notice you'll come home and you'll just binge eat. You'll just eat because your body is craving you. You're craving a connection to yourself and to just slow your ass down and to feel something and to cope and to just soothe because your soul is screaming at you for some love. Okay.
Can I pause you, Erin? Yeah, because I really want to comment on that one. Yeah. I really resonate with that. That was a big part of my journey as well, of this like type A personality and the like trying to find my worth through how much I got done in a day and like the go, go, going. I often talk about like the busy is the new stupid. That was actually something that my mentor said, and I absolutely loved that. It's been a big part of my journey as well, is learning to slow down. I want to offer as well that what's happening there is our nervous system is constantly activated, right? So we're constantly releasing cortisol. There's a lot of like hormonal pieces as well as the mental, emotional pieces of like having like this void. That's how I often described it, or my clients, like this void in our chest, like this lack of love for ourselves to actually not even know who we are and to not even know that we're worthy of slowing down and taking rest, especially throughout our cycle every month as women, right? Actually learning how to rest when we're supposed to rest. Anyway, so lots of pieces there. I just really wanted to like cheer that one on.
That's a deep dive in itself. And nervous system regulation was one of my things, one of my top 10. So I'll just piggyback off that. Nervous system regulation is when you finally understand how powerful that is and you can regulate it through breath work, as Danny is now doing. It's when you actually start breathing. I was not breathing for my entire career from probably 30 to 40. Well, 28 to 38, I was not breathing. I remember some of my practitioners, I'd go in and I was selling them all my supplements and they're like, girl, you're not breathing. And you got like sweat dripping down the side of your head. Girl, you need to slow down. You need to breathe. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm fine. Just like, I got it. Let me do that. And granted, I was on straight commission. So I was in fight or flight and in scarcity mode, but I was not breathing. And when you actually learn how to breathe correctly, oh my gosh, you know how much stuff you can heal just from breath work alone. I mean, that's another podcast, right? Because it regulates, it regulates your nervous system. So I interviewed Josh Trent, who talks about it in our interview, but man, I'm even catching myself right now. When you finally learn how to breathe, it's a gateway. It's all of these things have a 10x effect if you just actually focus on them. And I know it's one thing at a time. Like this was 20 years of my life that I had to learn, but man, just a simple thing like breathing, it will change your life. Right.
And I'll add the caveat there, like breathing into your diaphragm. This is something we don't do. And I've just learned as I've been doing breathwork facilitation training, is how often we breathe into our chest. Shallow breaths into our chest, which is actually an activating space to breathe. But when we breathe into our diaphragm and our stomach, we actually get nourishing breaths in a really different way. And we don't do that because as women, we're like, keep it, suck it in. Keep the tummy small, right? Yep. Yeah. So relearning how to breathe. I love that.
Oh yeah. I mean, I was walking around in like I was in the nutraceutical space. So I was dressed up, you know, in a black suit with like a tight tank top and I had a tight jacket. So I had to suck it in. So I wasn't breathing. And I was just like, Hey, how are you? Like this. And just, I mean, God, like no wonder people are like, girl, you got to breathe. No wonder I was shoveling food in, you know? Oh my gosh. And then you pose for pictures, suck it in. You're walking around, suck it in. Like, nobody is breathing. The next one is I noticed with boundaries. I would say that's the next one. Boundaries. I know people with emotional eating have usually a lack of boundaries because they're people pleasers or, they learned some codependency. They learned to not stand up for themselves, to not speak their truth. That was me. it's a long history of stuff with my dad and being in fear all the time of my dad for a lot of reasons. But I learned early to people please and to not have any boundaries and get male approval. Because again, looking for my father's love through male approval as a young kid and being perfect. And so I, that over the years, when I would get these big, heavy sales manager careers, it was, I would always have some type of boundary pushing, testing, narcissistic boss. I started attracting these bosses that would push my boundaries on purpose so that I would finally stand up for myself. And I never did. So I remember going, oh, you want me to stay up till 4 a.m. at this last minute project that you just slapped on my, it's like the 4th of July and this project's due tomorrow. And oh, I got to stay up till 4 a.m. Okay, I'll do it. Cause you know, I don't have any kids and I don't have a husband. So I'll do it because I want my gold star. So yes, no problem. I can get that done. Absolutely. Yeah. And that was how I would respond to things like, sure, I'm this badass. I can handle it. And I would work till, I mean, a couple of times it was definitely an all-nighter, 4 a.m., but it was mostly 1, 2 a.m. And then I get up and go to the gym early, mess up my sleep and do cardio and, you know, these endless cycles of just of binge eating. But if I would have just said, you know what, I can't get to that. This is last minute. I have 10 other things on my plate. I can get to it next week. I would have saved myself so much pain and pain. But of course, that's what led me to What We Crave. So it's fine. But it was really just boundaries come from self-worth. And that's always at the root of so much of this is I am worth my health. I'm worth my life. I'm worth my sanity. I'm worth peace. And I'm not going to take on your project because you are late and you are not responsible. And you are putting your responsibilities on me. Sorry. Thanks. No, I never learned how to speak up for myself. I never learned how to say no. It was always like, yep. Okay. And you wonder why I'm staying. I'll have dinner at 5 p.m. with my coworkers and then I'll go to True Food Kitchen and eat at the bar till midnight, drink wine, order pizza and a squash pie with coconut milk whipped cream. And I'll just eat that whole thing because I have so much work to do and I work really hard for this. So I'm going to eat everything. Right. And it was just all boundaries. So yeah. Do you want to extend on that one?
Yeah. I mean, that's a whole nother podcast.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So good.
Let's see. There's a few more. So the next one was protein. I know this is going to sound almost, these are all things that are so very simple. Protein. I was doing more of the ketogenic approach because that's when it was in style. And the person I worked for was promoting keto. So it was, you got to be eating keto. And if you don't, something's wrong with you. You know, like you got to be in with this like cult kind of vibe. And I was eating way too much fat and not enough protein. And when I just changed to upping my protein with grass-fed beef or just real food, whole food protein, not protein shakes, not protein bars, not protein ball cookies, I would eat a protein cookie. I would eat everything that was processed that had protein in it. And I was never nourished or satisfied. I would always want to eat. And the second I learned more about the carnivore approach where it's just, you just add in maybe a grass-fed burger for breakfast versus a breakfast and lunch, have some, just integrating more animal-based protein. Again, it doesn't work for everybody, but that changed my life. I stopped thinking about food. I finally felt nourished. And it, because it was whole food, more protein, more fat, not like binge. I used to binge eat on keto products. I'm talking whole food and adding more protein. When I just went from less fat, more protein, as in just getting fat from protein, like salmon, grass-fed beef, olives, what else? Drizzling olive oil on a beautiful like plate of roasted vegetables and some sweet potato, and then having an amazing grass-fed burger with it. Whatever it was, but just adding, focusing more on protein, I could not believe how nourished I felt. I was like, you've got to be joking me. Is it this easy? I listened to an audiobook by Gabrielle Lyon called Forever Strong. And she talks about women are so protein deficient because it's like, well, I'm just going to have a thing of yogurt with some granola and like a 200 calorie yogurt for breakfast. And zero, like 10 grams of protein, sugar, and high in fat, high in sugar and a little bit of fat, but there's lacking protein. And then I'm just going to have a salad for lunch. It's just going to be a little bit of it'll be like a like a Caesar salad with some croutons and a little bit of chicken. And then you wonder why we go home and we want to eat the entire house because we're not getting enough protein. I eat a lot of, granted, I lift weights. I do CrossFit and hot yoga, but before that, I just started increasing my protein and I was like, this is the Willy Wonka golden ticket. If women knew that they're just severely protein deficient, this would fix so many of their problems. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And isn't it amazing how like nature's proteins, at least with like the most accessible proteins being animal products,
yes,
come with fat included. Like it's already prepackaged, right? Like nature knew, you know, to eat the chicken with the skin on it or, yes, you know, the steak with the fat in it, right? Like protein and fat go together. And yeah, no doubt when we're deficient, especially in any macronutrient, it's really tricky. I was having a conversation with a new client of mine who was cutting out carbs, but pretty much just eating protein. And I was like, your body doesn't have a fuel source. Like what's going on, right? No wonder you're hungry, right? So we need to really understand that we need all these pieces. And if we're going to cut out carbs or go keto or carnivore, are we making sure to replace it with enough fat for our body to have fuel? And of course, I mean, obviously the protein piece, that's really fascinating. It makes sense to me. Most women are dehydrated. Most are deficient in a lot of vitamins and minerals and protein, of course.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And granted, I think, you know, again, nobody's a one size fits all. We're all different. You know, I went vegan and it worked great for a few months. And then I was eating kale salads the size of a, you know, I don't even know, like the size of a couch. You know what I mean? Because I was still craving something. My body's like, no, girl, this is not enough. I need something else.
Yeah.
And I got really bloated off of kale. There's times where it'll work and then until it doesn't. And you really got to pay attention to, just because it's popular doesn't mean it's going to work for you. But I noticed for me, just, I always loved burgers and I always loved salmon. I'm like, why don't I just listen to my body? It's trying to tell me something. So granted, it's grass fed, grass finished, and I do a lettuce wrap, but it's, I'm getting my fat from food versus packaged snacky stuff. You just make that simple swap. It will change your life. Okay. Next one is connection. I had no connection. I had no physical hugs. No, let's see. Yeah. I mean, I was in California with thousands of people around me at all times, completely isolated. Isn't that weird? Where you're in your car, then you're in a plane, then you're in a hotel, then you're in an office, never in nature. No hugs, no girl time, no family time. My nephews live in a different state. And I had time with my coworkers, but they were all toxic. Same with my boss, was all toxic. So yeah, when you don't have any connection to yourself, other people, nature, your body will start to tell you something. It'll start reaching for things because it's looking for connection to feel something because you are completely empty inside. Mm-hmm. So I noticed the second I started being around more people, doing interviews like this with What We Crave, connecting with people with interviews in person, going to coffee, I moved back near my nephews so I could hug them. Just getting hugs, just getting that alone will change your relationship to food because we are meant to hug each other. We're meant to be in each other's presence. And when you're not around people, good luck getting out of emotional eating. Because look at COVID, right? We completely isolated. Look at how many people went to the fridge for food and gained the COVID 19, 20, 30 pounds. Isolation literally destroys your immune system, your body, you'll start reaching for food until you finally get some human connection. So I used to work at home by myself. I would go at that point, once I started filming for What We Crave, I would actually go to a coffee shop and work remotely at a coffee shop. And I felt like I was fed just from being around people. You know what I mean? So people will feed you from the inside out. And that's another thing you're missing. So if you are reaching for food, look at how isolated you are and either get into nature, go hug somebody, go get in a coffee shop, go whatever it is, but just go get around people and you will realize that that will feed you. And that's what you're really looking for.
Yeah. Okay. I definitely have something I want to say here and jump in before you keep going, because this is a huge one that I've seen in my life and with my clients as well. And I just want to highlight that it's quality over quantity here, because there is a massive difference between connecting on a superficial level with your coworkers versus somebody who's actually being present with you and cares about you and loves you and like wants to meet you in that. And I even noticed that in hugs, like here comes my like trauma informed, like comment about the hugs, because I know this even within my family, you know, when you get one of those hugs, that's like, this person isn't really here. Like, I don't, like, this feels like I'm hugging like an empty bag. No. Right. No. And it's like the little pat, there's no chest contact. Everybody's like holding their crotches back. And you're like this super superficial hug. Like, for me, that's actually triggering because it feels like disconnection. It's like, we should be in connection, but I'm feeling you push me away. So just being conscious of that. And if you are getting hugs from people, make sure they're quality hugs and they're at least 11 seconds long. And they're like really good people that you actually want to be hugging and your body wants to hug that person. So anyways, there's a whole rabbit hole, but like quality over quantity with connection. And that can be really difficult. I know many women in my clients are noticing that they don't really have quality people in their life. And we've surrounded ourselves with these superficial relationships. And I know I had to go through a whole shedding of my friendships and relationships to welcome in new ones. And it's a whole journey. So be patient with yourself.
Oh, for sure. And I think that's the thing is when you finally say, hey, I know these relationships are toxic and life will find a way. When you start showing up for yourself, life will show up for you. That's my Aaronism, one of my Aaronisms. So like, you know, relationship isn't really that great for me, I'm just going to slowly step away and just kindly walk away. Love them, but then walk away. Life will drop in new friends because you're showing up for yourself and you're loving yourself and you're honoring yourself and what you need. Life will just keep showing up. And I've had friends like ripped out of my life out of nowhere. What the? It's because I was leveling up and growing. I was growing my worth inside myself and growing my experience of worth, and all of them fell away. And that's very normal. Very normal. As you're leveling up, life will show up for you. Just when it happens, just roll with it because new people will drop in. But as you grow, I noticed that too, where it's okay to let go of old friends so the new ones can drop in. And have you ever noticed at an airport when you get off the plane and there's people waiting for their people off the plane, right? Like at the end of the little hall where you get off the plane by the baggage claim. Have you ever noticed when people are waiting for their people, the way they hug those people, like, I miss you, I love you, that's a freaking hug. You know what I mean? And so I agree. When I know a lot of people that just, they don't like hugs. And when I hug people, I hug them, you know? And it makes a big difference. And not that we all have to hug Aaron style, but it makes a difference. It your soul is meant to hug and connect with people. Yeah. And so anyways, rant over. Okay.
Now I want an Aaron hug. Now I need an Aaron hug. We need to be in person at some point. We'll figure that out.
I got long arms, so I just get you all nestled.
I'm a wiggler. Like, I'll wiggle you when we hug. Like, I'm a real, like, let's get into it and like dance together. Like,
it's rocking. I know. I
love that.
Well, Zach Bush always talks about you need to give people at least a 10-second hug because that's what your soul, that's how it's supposed to be, you know? So he'll hang on to you and it's a good awkward, you know? And it's awesome. Like, the world is so hug deficient. Okay. The next one, there's two more.
What else?
The next one is triggers and traumas. We think, for me, when I would get triggered by all my bosses, the narcissists, the abusive bosses, I would always point the finger at them and go, well, she's a bitch and she this and she that, and she did this to me. And then she said this, and then I have to stay up and do this and this and blah, blah, blah. And when I would get triggered, I mean, I remember my boss would call me on my cell phone and my whole neck would light up bright red and I couldn't breathe, my throat locked up. And I would just be like, like this. Cause she was so abusive and so narcissistic and I would never stand up to her. And I would always pick up the phone and be like, hello. Mm-hmm. And then the second we hung up, I'd go right to the fridge and I'd start eating because she triggered me so badly. Cause I had so much anger towards her, which was my own journey and my own boundaries. That was all on me. She was just there to push me into my purpose. But man, when you finally look at your triggers as a roadmap to the stuff where you're not healed, it'll change everything. So every time I get triggered now, I get out my journal. I start writing, why am I being triggered? And it all connects to me and my shit. And so I'm actually grateful for the triggers now versus, you know, now when they come up, I dive into them versus going to the fridge. And I interviewed Catherine Dixon, who does the work of Byron Katie. And that's all she does is it's called the work. And that's all you do is why did they trigger you? And what does this say about where you're not healed? And when you finally dismantle it, it will change your life. So triggers, I say, you got to go to the trigger gym and you got to work that shit out. So the triggers are for you. Like, how many of us might go to the physical gym, but are we going to the spiritual gym and the emotional gym? How many of us are emotionally fit and spiritually fit? We just push it away and we'll stuff it and numb. And if we actually just looked inward and started digging into it, you know how much, like, that is emotional fitness. That's spiritual fitness. That's the work. All that stuff you're avoiding is exactly your roadmap to freedom on the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
And getting it out of emotional eating. Yeah. Cause I just, it was like trigger, eat, trigger, eat. And I got wired at a very young age, like stress, eat, happy, eat, bored, eat. No reason, eat, you know, based on my wiring as a kid with my dad, with basketball. And then it just became normal and wired. And that's when I interviewed Ashley DeLello, who we talk about that just, it's okay. Your brain just got wired to eat at a young age. You know, it's okay. You just learned for this, when this happens, I eat. And then you can, just as much as your brain wired itself into this loop, you can rewire it and get out of it. It's very easy. Just take some time if you're willing to do the work. So 30 years of me wiring my brain into that, I was finally able to get out of it. And with some neuro coaching, but it's definitely possible. You just got to work with a coach. And that's why we're all here, just to give you all the options, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible. And she's amazing. She needs to come on your show too. She's incredible.
Yeah, great. Let's connect.
Yes. And then the last one is purpose. I was so disconnected from my purpose. And I know you feel me on this because that's what we talked about in your interview, which was amazing. Was, yeah, I was, my soul was screaming at me, girl, this is not what you are meant to do. I remember, I just, oh man, you look back on your life and you can tell your body's screaming at you. To step into your purpose. And sometimes we don't know what our purpose is, but it'll get you to wake up and it'll push you until you finally do. So for me, because I was so disconnected from my purpose, I was a sales manager in the high level, you know, sales executive, VP of sales vibes. I had this identity of like, oh, I'm good now. I made it. I'm, you know, cause I have this title now. And I was rock bottoming myself with this binge eating problem. And I was never, our entire life always works out. Every job we've had, everything we've ever done in our life, it always works out because it eventually brings us to our purpose if we listen and we get the shoulder tap and we actually listen. So I finally started, when I had my rock bottom, I finally started to listen, got my shoulder tap, and I finally just said, you know what? I'm struggling so bad. I wonder if there's other people that are struggling. Let me just interview people and see I can get out of my mess and maybe I can go help more people with that. That just feels good. My soul is like, yeah, that feels right. I love interviewing people. So I started to do it and What We Crave was born. And I've noticed that with every person I've interviewed, when you are not in alignment with your purpose, with who you are, what your soul desires, you will reach for the food because you are disconnected from yourself. It's a natural side effect.
So beautifully said. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Like thinking my own journey through that, it was totally what was going on for me too. I mean, and all these amazing things that you just shared, I can see those pieces of my journey showing up. And yeah, love absorbing this knowledge from you, Erin. Like, you know, the amount of interviews with experts and people in this work, myself included, and all these other guests that you've mentioned in What We Crave, it's just so, so powerful to be able to whittle that down and see some of these themes. So thank you so much for being here, Erin. This has been incredible. I always love our chats and we need many more hours together. So we'll have to have you back on the show. We just touched the surface today, but I'm so grateful for everything that you're doing with What We Crave. And thank you for having me on as a guest. And of course, anyone listening who's curious about emotional eating or resonating with anything that Erin's sharing, come and sign up. It's free. You have no excuse. You have no reason not to come and continue this work, learning from these incredible experts that Erin's brought together. And yeah, just so deeply grateful again, Erin, for you being here and for all of you watching. Thank you for tuning in, and we will see you on the next episode. Thank you for tuning in to another episode. If you're loving what we talked about today, please take a minute to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with someone you love. It helps us in a big way reach more people and change more lives. And if you're ready to go deeper into discovering your unique root causes and patterns that are keeping you hooked on sugar, be sure to check out our brand new free quiz that will tell you which root cause is holding you back from freedom with food and give you the healing action steps to break free from these old patterns for good. Find the link to take the free quiz and other amazing resources in the show notes below.